Welcome to the Tech Policy Podcast. I'm Evan Schwartztraber, your host. On today's show, government transparency. Should the Congressional Research Service be allowed to publish all of its reports online for the public to see? Joining me to discuss this is Kevin Kosar, Senior Fellow at the R Street Institute. Kevin, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me here.
So before joining the R Street Institute, you spent 11 years working at the Congressional Research Service. So just to start us off, what is CRS and why should listeners care?
CRS is the agency that everyone should be thankful for, but nobody knows about. It's a unit inside the Library of Congress, and it's often referred to as Congress's brains or Congress's private think tank. It's about 600 civil servants, people who are appointed on the basis of their expertise, not on the basis of political affiliation. You have PhDs, you have master's degrees holders, you have experts of all stripe who help Congress think about every issue under the sun, and Congress is into every issue under the sun.
So theoretically, Congress is contemplating some type of legislation. They want to know something about the economy, or they want to do some research. Do they go to CRS with a question like, "What impact would this bill have?" Or, "What would this change to the tax code mean?" Is that the type of work that CRS does?
That's part of it, certainly. Realize anybody who gets elected to office is probably going to have very little idea about how the federal government actually works. They come from a locality, they come from a state, and the federal government is a $4 trillion enterprise. It's massive and incredibly complex. Thousands and thousands of pages of laws and tens of thousands of pages of federal regulations all producing policy. There's just no way you can know. So when you come to work in the Congress, you reach out to CRS because they can bring you up to speed on how things work.
So can you give us an example, maybe an accessible example of what type of thing CRS, what type of report they would produce, maybe in your 11 years on the job, something that really caught your eye or a report you particularly enjoyed putting together?
Well, one of the issues I covered for Congressional Research Service was the U.S. Postal Service. And about 7 or 8 years ago, the Postal Service started to try to downsize itself by closing post offices. And some citizens got freaked out. Some members of Congress got very distraught because it meant that, union jobs were disappearing. And so I had to put together a report on what is the post office closure process? Does the public have any voice in this? And nothing previously on the topic had ever been written. And I produced that report, and it ended up all over the media, despite the fact that it wasn't exactly a sexy topic. It was because nobody else paid attention to this. And that's what is the case for much of what CRS produces. It writes reports on topics that are seldom covered elsewhere, or if they are written about elsewhere, frequently they're written about in a slanted way.
So you bring up the transparency issue because in this case, your report did make it to the media, but that's not the case with all reports. And the issue is that the Congressional Research Service, that federal entity cannot actually give those reports to anyone except Congress. So CRS does a bunch of work. You do a bunch of work on the post office. You come up with a report. You can give it to Congress. You can't give it to anyone else. You can't discuss it with a friend at a coffee shop or whatever. It's up to Congress to decide who sees that information. Now, some reports then either get leaked or get just published on a congressman's website, but that's all up to Congress. Why is it not just automatic that something like a taxpayer-funded entity like the Congressional Research Service would just publish everything online for everyone to see? Why have this middleman that is Congress?
I wish I could give you a good reason for it. It's a long-time habit, and it's Congress's fault. There are other legislative branch agencies like Congressional Budget Office, GAO, the Government Accountability Office. They write reports on important stuff, and that gets published instantly, publicly. CRS has been historically treated by Congress as their kind of private support of sorts. And so the release of reports to the general public has been completely ad hoc, which is a real shame because the internet's just full of misinformation. And there are all sorts of issues coming up, like CRS has written a couple of reports on the Zika virus. I think the public probably cares about that. It'd be nice to be able to go to someplace other than a hysterical pop media piece trying to cover the topic. It'd be nice to have something that you could rely upon and trust that's written in a measured, sensible voice based on evidence. But that sort of stuff is not made available as a matter of course.
So Congress is in charge of changing this. And if they wanted to, you pointed out in a Medium post, which we will link to in the show notes, that Congress could just do this unilaterally. They don't need President Obama to be involved at all. Would it just be a vote by the House, or would it have to also be by the Senate?
In theory, just one House could act and make it happen. In fact, in theory, one single member of Congress could fix this problem. CRS only puts out about 1,000 reports per year, and the reports it updates each year number about 2,000 to 3,000 reports. Those could fit on a thumbnail drive. You could assign an intern to download CRS reports and simply whack them up on a member of Congress's website. This is not a technologically challenging enterprise. But Congress being Congress, there is the need to get buy-in from both the Senate and the House. And that means both committees in both houses have to agree to it. And there's also, unfortunately, a joint committee on the library. So there's a third committee that feels like it needs to have a voice in this matter. So you got to get enough votes, and including both chairmen of all three committees, in fact, on board in order to make this happen.
Now, it seems like such a no-brainer that something that is funded by the taxpayer to the tune of $100 million, the Congressional Research Service, you've said that this is not sensitive, classified information. This is not like the Edward Snowden leaks or NSA documents. This is just stuff and it wouldn't really have an effect on would there be market implications? I mean, what I'm trying to get at, is there any good reason why this seemingly logical thing that you're advocating for hasn't happened yet?
Honestly, no. There are no downsides to this. There are only upsides. CRS employees themselves, their reports leak all the time. There's something like 27,000 CRS reports floating around all over the internet. Of course, they're scattered here and there, and nobody knows where to find them, except for people inside the Beltway who know where to look. It's a bummer to be at CRS as an expert and to realize that when you write something, you can't share it with other experts and get their critical feedback. That's part of the pleasure of being an expert, is to continuously learn about stuff.
And the only way that you could get feedback, let's say, again, your post office example is you send that report to Congress, and now you've got to wait for any individual in Congress to either leak it or publish it. And then once it becomes public, then you could share it with an expert. But maybe it would have been better to share it with the expert while you were writing it, because then they could have feedback. I mean, that's one of the major issues, right? Is that Congress is closing off CRS to outside collaboration?
Yeah. It's a crazy situation where it's a de facto ban on distribution of CRS reports. I'm sorry, de jure by law ban on circulating the reports. But in fact, the reports are floating around all the time. And so, yeah, you'll get people who will call you up from a university and say, hey, I found this report of yours online and I wanted to talk to you about it. And you kind of have to go, well, I don't know if that's an official congressional copy. And if they ask you, is there a more recent version of this copy, you can't really answer that question. You have to tell them they have to contact their member of Congress, who will have to ask on their behalf. It's just a ludicrous situation.
And you brought up an inequality issue in your blog post, because, of course, there are people inside the Beltway who know the websites to go to, who know how to find these reports, even though there is no central database like what you're advocating for. They can pay for a premium subscription service that might cost thousands of dollars a month that specializes in tracking all these reports down and putting them into a database. But it really, this entire election on both sides has shown how people are fed up with the Beltway being so insular. They feel very detached from their government. And what better way to illustrate the detachment from government, that basic crap that taxpayers are paying for cannot find it, but the people who work in Washington, D.C. have no problem, either through word of mouth, or I bet if I asked you where to find things, you would be able to tell me because you worked there for 11 years. But just the average person who wants to know some piece of information that they might have funded through their own tax dollars just can't, or they don't know where to go.
Absolutely true. And that's why I'm very thankful that in both the Senate and the House, bills have been introduced called Equal Access to Congressional Research Service Reports Act. These bills basically fix the problem at zero cost to the taxpayer. They basically say, CRS, you must take your reports and give them over to the government printing office. And the government printing office, or government publishing office, as it's now called, they'll put them on their site. And they'll be searchable, they'll be findable, they'll be downloadable, they'll be free, and problem solved. And I'm hoping that the legislation is going to move forward. There's been more movement in the past year than there has in probably the past 15 years to deal with this issue. But we'll see. It's an election year. Congress is not going to be around for much of the summer. And whether they'll make the time to just vote up or down on the bill remains to be seen.
And when we were preparing for this podcast, I got really hung up on the issue of what could possibly be the justification for not doing this. And I guess just to brainstorm a couple of cynical reasons why a congressman might not want this, this system could be advantageous to incumbents. So they get the benefit of seeing all of the research that CRS puts out, and they can pick and choose what they want to leak, which might benefit them in an election, or it might give the public the perception that they want. They kind of are the gatekeeper to the information. And being able to pull the levers and control what gets out and what doesn't, could that benefit those who are in power to the detriment of those trying to seek power?
Well, you know, it's interesting you should put that out there because former Representative Chris Shays was at a Hill event about 6 months back that I participated in. And he said, yeah, this is a no-brainer. This is like, you know, mom and apple pie. Just do this. But when asked why it's not been done, he said, well, members of Congress like feeling like experts. And so if they have information that other people don't have, and he recounted that frequently members of Congress, before they go into meetings, they don't know much about the subject matter. So they would skim a CRS report, or a staffer would highlight portions of a CRS report, and they'd look it over and they'd go in and speak competently on it. And so, yeah, there's an element of bias, I think, towards being able to protect the information source. But in the age of the internet and the speed with these things leak, that strategy is ultimately short-sighted. I mean, most CRS reports leak within 2 to 4 weeks, I would say, of publication.
So the issue is not really that you can't get the information. It's just not easily accessible. It's not all in one place. This is really just a process thing that could really be improved. And in your blog post, you brought up the idea that this could actually improve the relationship between citizen and government, because you say there's so much misinformation about government out there. The internet is chock full of conspiracy theories, and part of the contribution to that might just be the lack of information and the feeling that a citizen doesn't know much about their government. So wouldn't it actually benefit those in power to release this information to show that it's not as this Illuminati, you know, backroom government that's doing things behind closed doors? There is information you can access. You can get a sense of where your tax money is going towards research. I mean, in theory, this could actually be beneficial to officials, right?
Absolutely. And that's a position that Representative Mike Quigley of Illinois he's argued that again and again publicly, that, you know, these reports are considered the gold standard in Washington, D.C. in terms of accuracy. It's because they're written and they're reviewed in a painstaking way to make sure that they're not slanted in one way or another. And they're written by people who often have very long tenure, and they go through so many levels of review and all that. And there's just not too many other documents that are produced on these kind of geeky government topics that go through such a production process. And so, yeah, they should be out there, and it would be helpful. America would be the smarter for it if they had access to it.
Yeah, and it could also be a benefit to journalists who I wouldn't blame any journalist who complains about sometimes feeling like a mouthpiece for government, because they're so dependent on the institutions to get the information to report on that they're kind of beholden to those people. And if they could just get the information themselves, because it was all published in an easily accessible way, we might have more accurate journalism.
Yeah, that's an important point. As government has grown bigger and bigger, it's grown much, much more complicated. And the people who understand how government work best tend to be the ones in the various executive branch agencies who are making the policy and carrying it out on a day-to-day basis. And reporters' access to those folks is getting less and less each year. More and more reporters are being forced to go through public affairs office, public communications office, they're not being allowed to speak to the bureaucrats directly. So what they get is basically kind of the party line. And that puts them in a position of dependency. And that is not a good thing.
And you bring up dependency. There's also the dependency on this one system. One of the practical reasons why publishing all CRS reports online would be a good thing is you'd have multiple places to get them. So you brought up in your post again that there was a moment, I forget how recently, where for a week the system went down and members of Congress couldn't access this. But if any one of them had just published all of it somewhere else, they could have had that as a backup. I mean, that's just a basic technical reason to do this.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Government agencies are frequently under cyber attack, no matter how banal and harmless the agencies might be. Folks overseas are trying to hack everybody. And redundancy, you got to have it.
Yeah.
You got to have a backup. And right now, there is no backup for the CRS website that is only accessible to Congress. So if anything bad happens, well, Congress is out of luck. And that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
And so many tech policy issues are complicated. You know, you talked about encryption on this show, telecom regulation, you know, the list goes on. But this one doesn't seem very complicated. This seems like a basic thing. You pass a bill saying access all the information, put it online. It's not sensitive, so there's not some complex cybersecurity regime that needs to be implemented to protect it. This is information that if it's public, we don't really care who sees it. So just to wrap up, I mean, where do you see this going? You said there's been more movement recently than ever before. Are you optimistic that this is the type of thing that will happen soon, or is the election just going to derail everything? Is there a particular candidate who you think would prioritize this over others? Where do you see this going?
I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm worried just because of the very limited congressional calendar and the fact that they're just bigger fish to fry, like passing appropriations bills so we don't have a government shutdown. And it's a truth of modern politics and modern congressional politics that pretty much every member of Congress, you have to assume that their toggle is set to no on most topics. And you therefore have to spend an immense amount of time pushing that toggle over to yes. And you have to have that for more than a majority of them. And you also have to make sure that you do that for the chairs of the various committees of jurisdiction, since bills won't come out unless they say so. But on the other hand, this is such a no-brainer. This is not a Democratic issue, a Republican issue. This is a common sense thing. It would be an easy thing for them to do. It would cost nothing. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. Really, it could be something that would be voted upon in 5 minutes and be done with.
Yeah. And I think that we could all use a bipartisan win. And on that optimistic note, that's it for today's show. My guest has been Kevin Kosar, senior fellow at the R Street Institute. For more on this topic, check out his blog post that we link to in the show notes. Kevin, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me in.
Follow us on Twitter at Tech Freedom or on Facebook.com/Tech Freedom. Find this podcast in the iTunes store or on your favorite podcast app. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review. It will help us and help others find the show. Thank you for listening.
The Tech Policy Podcast is produced and distributed by Tech Freedom, a nonpartisan, nonprofit think tank in Washington, D.C. To learn more about our work, make a tax-deductible donation, or find other episodes, find us online at techfreedom.org.